Service. We ask for your guidance through your scripture this morning, dear God. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint us, Lord, to be able to break into that channel and that you may come and speak the word to us, Lord, break the bread of life. We ask for your guidance, Lord, and we give you all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Now, where we're going to take up is Abraham had called his servant Eliezer to him and had him swear to him to go back to where his people was to take a wife for Isaac. And he said, swear to me that you won't take a wife from the land of the Canaanites. And so that's where I want to take up verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. You may be seated. This is, of course, the story of Eliezer going to get a bride for Isaac. We're all familiar with it, but there's some things that I wanted to point out and bring out today. That Eliezer went and you could put yourself in his shoes. He was going seeking a wife for Isaac, but he had no idea who he was looking for. But the one thing that I believe he was looking for was character. And when he got there to the well, we know the story well, that he began to pray and asked the Lord to help him to choose the right one. And he said, when the damsels come out to draw water, let the one which I say to give me a drink, and she would say, I'll give you a drink and also water your camels, let that be the one. And he waited there perhaps all day, but it wasn't till the evening time when Rebekah came. And there was a messenger from Abraham waiting, hunting for that bride, and it was in the evening time when she came out. And I believe she was led by the Spirit of God to come out then. And of course, when he spoke to her, then she said, I'll give you drink and also draw water for your camels. And then he knew that she was the one, and so he spoke to her and told her what he was there for, what his mission was. And she took him to her family to introduce him to her family, that he might tell her family what he was there for. And he spoke to the family. And, of course, the mother and the brother said, let her stay with us a few days. And Eliezer said, "Don't hinder me. Send me forth that I can go back to my master." And then they were going to inquire then of Rebekah to see what her answer was going to be, to see what she was going to do. Now, we know that the coming of Christ, that he comes three times. He comes the first time to redeem his bride. That coming's already happened. The second time he comes to receive his bride. That's the coming we're waiting on. And in that coming, he doesn't come and actually set his feet down here on earth. But the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. So he can't set foot back on this earth at that time, but we're to meet him in the air. And the reason he can't set foot on the earth again at that time is because the earth hasn't received its baptism to cleanse it. And so we have the story of the beautiful Rebekah. And, you know, you can put yourself, as I said, in Eliezer's shoes, that his fear that he had was, what if she won't come with me? I mean, I'm just going to be a stranger. She ain't going to know me from nobody. All I'm going to have is a story. All I'm going to have is what you've told me to say, what you've told me to do. The only thing he had was to bring her word that there was a bridegroom waiting for her. She never met him. She didn't know what he looked like. He could have been the ugliest thing walking on 2 feet. But that wasn't her thought. She believed the message that Eliezer brought, and she then had to make a decision. It come down to a time to make a decision. As I said, he was afraid, what if she says she won't go? And I think about the prophet of this last day. When he was being commissioned, one of his things was, the people won't listen to me. I'm not educated. The people won't hear me. But Abraham said to Eliezer, if she won't come, then you're free from the oath. In other words, you've done your part. But it had to be the words that Eliezer spoke to her that she believed them. It wasn't so much Eliezer as it was his words that she had to believe them and realize, yes, this wasn't some kind of trickery. There actually was a young man that she would go and be married to. And then, of course, there's two people that he has to deal with. And that's her mother and her brother. And they were the ones that kind of kicked up a fuss. They were the ones that wanted to hinder him. They were the ones that were actually to be a hindrance to his message. And it wasn't the father so much. You don't hear that he said anything. But it was the mother, the church, and the brother, the preachers, that had something to say about this bride being called out. They they didn't want her to leave. Don't go follow him. Don't go do that. But it came down that it had to be her choice whether she was willing to go. And in this end time, we know we've received a prophet. And he came. And it was his obligation to God was to call out a bride. And the Lord even spoke to him and says, get my son a bride from amongst the churches. So he had to go to the churches to find a bride. Now, what was he looking for? He wasn't looking for more members. You can be a member of the church, but if your heart's not given to Jesus and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going. So he wasn't looking for more members. He was looking for someone to believe him. This prophet in the last day. He wasn't looking to have a big church and add a bunch of members. It wasn't about membership. It wasn't about quantity. It was about quality. That's what he was looking for. Someone that would believe his message. And I'm so thankful today that we were among those that believed the message. That we, when we were given our choice whether we would follow this end time message or not, we made up our minds, I'm going to go. I'm going to follow it. I know there's Brother Horner and his wife sitting here. They had been in the meetings, but outside of them, there's nobody else sitting here that was ever in any of the meetings. So you had to accept it on the word. You had to accept it by what you heard. You never had an opportunity to meet the man. You didn't have the opportunity to shake his hand. So it wasn't so much about the man as it was what he had to say. And it's what he had to say that's what struck your heart. Because it wasn't his message. It was the message of God coming to the people. God just had to have a vessel to work through. And of course, he gave him three pulls. And that was to, the thing was to get the attention. The first two were to get the attention of the people. It was to get the attention of the bride. But the third pull was only to the bride. And that, Brother Branham said, the third pull was the opening of the word, the revealing of the seals. And that was to the bride. And when you would try to share that with people outside of that, if they're not bride, it would just sound like nonsense perhaps to them. Well, it's there's some that in churches that look at the book of Revelations and say, well, there's no understanding that book. John must have just had a bad dream. There's no understanding that book. But we know what was wrote in the book. It's been opened, revealed. And with that message being revealed and spoke to us, there's something that spoke within our heart. There was something that there was a deep that called to the deep. There was something there that called from the word that called and touched something down inside of you. And when it did, then it's like that story Brother Branham tells about the little eagle. When the mother eagle flew over and began to scream, there was something in him that answered to that scream. And so there was something inside of you that answered back to that voice when you heard it. It was in the evening time. Brother Branham said, I'm hunting for a church that'll let me come in and not close the door in my face. He said, I'm looking for people that will believe me. I'm looking for believers. God had spoke to Abraham and told Abraham, your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. Now, he spoke this to Abraham before that what we've read this morning out of Genesis 24, he spoke to him before all that and told him, your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. But if you'll notice something, when you read in chapter 24 about when Rebekah's family was sending him forth, one of the things they said, they told her to go forth and to be fruitful and be the mother of multitudes. And they said, and let your seed possess the gates of your enemies. The promise that was given by God to Abraham, that promise was to Isaac. And that promise also was to Rebekah. Hallelujah. The promises that God give. Friends, look, you are joint heirs with Christ. We inherit all that he does. When he sent him forth, he said, don't go amongst and get a wife out of these Canaanites. Of course, if you read the scripture, you know that they were accursed people. Noah cursed them. And so God didn't want Isaac, who the lineage from Isaac was to come down through to Christ. He didn't want that to be stained or marred with that cursed race. So he said, don't take a bride from here. But you realize he went back and it was Abraham's brother's daughter. So they was cousins. They were blood relation. Brother Branham says this in the message, said she was blood related to him. It was Abraham's brother's child, Isaac and Rebekah, first cousins, blood relations, showing that the church in the last days will be blood relation to Christ. For the very God that predestinated Christ, and the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, and the church itself, its name was put on the book before the foundation of the world. We are blood relations to Christ. In the spiritual speaking sense. So he went out to find this bride. And the thing's always been, will you be willing to follow? And that's always the question that everybody is faced with when they come in contact with the gospel. It's the same thing when Jesus was walking on the shores, seashores, and he looked at Peter and Andrew and said, come, follow me. They had to make a decision. Are we going to follow him? Same thing with James and John. They had to make a decision. Are we going to follow him? And God will test his people. He'll test you to see if you'll continue to follow. We know that in the book of St. John, chapter 6, that Jesus speaking to the people, and because of the words he said, the Bible said, many turned away from him that day and followed him no more. But he turns to the 12, and he says, will you go also? So they were tested. Will you go also? And the thing about it was, Jesus didn't stop to explain to them what he said no more than he explained to the others that left him. He didn't say, now, let me explain this to you, and then after I explain it to you, you probably won't want to leave me. No, he didn't explain it. And what he said to the normal common sense of man, it made no sense. Because he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. That made no common sense. So he didn't explain it to the 12, but he gave them, are you going to continue to follow me? Or are you going to leave with the rest? And there's come times when you are tested and tried. Are you going to continue to follow? Say, well, I'll continue to follow this message. You've been tested even further than that. You've been tested about whether you're going to continue on here in this church or not. And you had to face it, am I going to do it or not? And the thing you've got to come to realize, is it God leading here? And if it is, then you come to the decision, I'm going to stay. I'm going to continue to follow. Abraham was tested once. Would he continue to follow the words of the Lord when he told him, take your son, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice? But Abraham was willing to follow the word of God because it was God's word that it spoke and said he would even have the son. So he was willing to continue to follow the word of God. Moses, you know, one of the things that Moses feared was the people wouldn't listen to him. The people wouldn't follow him. He wouldn't be able to convince them. They wouldn't hear him. But he went. And what he had was he had the word of God. And God had given him some signs to show the people. And signs to show before Egypt. And Moses, then the people had to come to a decision, are we going to follow Moses or not? Are we going to leave here and follow Moses? And you think about it, that the conditions that they were in, that they would have been willing to just leave, but they were afraid. That's what fear does to people. Fear can keep you bound. Fear can keep you from actually following and going where you should go. Fear. The thing is, your life's in God's hands anyway. So what's there to be afraid of? But they feared for their life. What if we follow, you know, you'd think they'd be willing to follow anybody that was willing to lead them out of there. Conditions were bad. But you realize the conditions had to get even worse? Not only was God working on Pharaoh for him to let the people go, but through Pharaoh working on the people to make it even harder on them so they'd be willing to leave. They'd overcome their fear. What if we go to leave while they got an army? They'll slay us in no time. So to live, we'll stay here and die. There were Israelites dying every day under the cruel hand of Egypt. But they still feared for their lives. But once it was vindicated to them that indeed God was with Moses, then they were willing to follow. I think about how that we've been taught about eagles. And you got the little eagles in the nest, and the nest is all padded up. They use thorns and all kinds of things to make the nest, the eagle does, to make it strong, to make it impervious, because it's gonna have to weather the storms. And then they pad it with skins and feathers and so forth to make it nice for the little eaglets to be born. But then when it comes time they need to leave the nest, Brother Ram preached the message, the eagle stirreth her nest. It comes time for them to leave their nest, then that eagle begins to pull out all that padding, that mama eagle. Pull out all the furs and the feathers and everything else. Makes the nest uncomfortable. I'll tell you what, sometimes we get too comfortable in this life. And there's things got to come our way. Thorns and thistles. The nest is being stirred. When things begin to come against you, just realize the nest is being stirred. And the desire to want to get out has got to become greater. It's a natural thing for you to want to hang on to life. God placed that in you. And as we grow older, we realize we're getting closer and closer to that door where we'll be leaving this life. But even then, there's something in you that keeps hanging on to life. Brother Aaron preached the message, thirsting for life. But you know what? When it comes somebody's time to go, I've watched them, when it comes their time to go, they begin to let loose of this life. They begin to look more beyond this life. They begin to look more to real life and realize this is just a shadow of it. I watched an individual I've known for years. They were diagnosed with cancer. And they were an individual that really was dedicated, had their lives dedicated to the Lord. Really served God with all their heart. Really was sincere, meant business about it. But when it come, they were diagnosed with cancer. They went through everything they could to try to fight off that cancer and to live. But then there come a time when this individual, something changed in him. And he spoke to the man who had been his pastor for years, whose message he came in under. He said, "I'm sorry for any trouble I've caused you." And he had a message to send to me. And he was letting go of this life. And he went home to be with the Lord. You know, when you become a believer, you will do things that's contrary to the world's understanding. Your way of thinking is contrary to the world's way. And many times you'll see this because there'll be folks that's related to you that don't see what you're seeing. And there'll be people, because of that, they'll think you're crazy. What are you doing following that? misunderstood is what you are. Noah did something contrary to what the people would think at that day, in that time. He said it's going to rain. People didn't believe it because it never had before. Imagine that. The Bible says in the beginning, there was a mist that rose up from the earth to water the earth. So then some man comes and says, there's water going to fall out of the sky. And it's going to flood the earth. And then he begins to build this great big monstrosity. What you doing that for, Noah? I don't know. God instructed me. You know, I believe when Noah began to first build the ark, he didn't know exactly what it was the ark was going to house. I believe if he had it, he wouldn't have took 120 years preaching to the people. But Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. So it took him that long to build the ark. And had this thing before the people, so there was plenty of time for them to doubt. There was plenty of time for them to say, that ain't never going to happen. And you know, there's people that the Bible said in this last day would get to a place where they would say, the Lord delayeth his coming. You've heard it for years, maybe perhaps some of you all your life. The Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. And he hasn't come yet. 120 years, Noah waited. I don't know how many years we've got left. And I know there's been ministers before me, years and years before me, that had looked at some of the things at the time and said, can't be much time left. We can look back now and see those times, some of those times back in, for instance, back in the 1970s. It wasn't time yet. It wasn't ready yet. The cup of iniquity wasn't full yet. The signs of the times weren't where they had to be yet. You look back in the 90s. It wasn't time yet. There in the late 80s, the USSR began to crumble. And Russia wasn't a power. They were no longer a superpower. But they are now again today. We've got prophecy that lets us know we're getting close to the end. At one time back in the 1970s, you'd tell people, there's going to come a time, Los Angeles is going to be an earthquake, and Los Angeles is going to sink into the sea. And they'd look at you like you was crazy. Today, they believe it. Why? Oh, well, we know we got the San Andreas Fault and all this, and they even make movies about it. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it. Made a movie, I guess, about it. Los Angeles earthquake happening. They believe it now. You think that that would strike something to their heart, that they would be looking for salvation somewhere. Why do people continue to live there? There are people who live there. Of course, of all the people in the world, the ones that need not fear if there was any bride that lived there. Think about Elijah. He was misunderstood by the entire nation. He was an Israelite. He was of that nation. But he was misunderstood by that nation. Why was he misunderstood? Because he was following God. He would come out and say, "Thus saith the Lord, this and that, that's going to happen. It'll not rain till I call for it." Well, who does he think he is? But it wasn't just Elijah that they misunderstood. They misunderstood the working of the Spirit of God through Elijah. Are we following a man or are we following God? You can't follow God and man at the same time. Talking about this world. You can't be right and wrong at the same time. You can't go left and right at the same time. Or east and west at the same time. You're going to go one way or the other. Excuse me. And a prisoner, Brother Brandon mentions, he says, he always had to take a man and make him a prisoner to him, forsake his own. Forsake everything he knowed. Forget all his training, everything, in order to know the will of God and to follow God. You can't be following man and following God at the same time. You're either following God or following man. And then if you're following God and have submitted yourself to God, then you become a prisoner to God and to that word and to that will. No matter what anything else says, you become a prisoner to the word of God. You're going to follow God no matter what. Those that follow God, those that follow the message of God, will not perish with those that believe not. Hallelujah. Friends, I'm looking forward to the culmination of the rapture. I'm looking forward to when it all comes together. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today. You know, I didn't follow this message because of mom and dad. I had to come down to make a choice for myself. I know a lot of times there's times when individuals think, well, the only reason I'm in this is because of mom and dad. Well, that's about the time you're going to have to come down to a decision. Are you going to continue to follow it or not? And to do that, there's going to have to be something that catches in your heart and comes alive. There's going to have to be, say, it has to be revealed to you. One of the first things, you believe God sent us a prophet or not? Or is that just something your parents believed? Well, I've always done this because, you know, it's the way I was raised, mom and dad, this or that and the other. Well, you're down to a time of decision now. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow? What are you going to do about it? And I'll tell you what, friends, I've watched over the past few years, I've watched there be a great falling away of people from following this message. And I've watched the testing time come, whether we're going to stay with it or what we're going to do. And I made up my mind. I'm in this. I ain't following it because of nobody else. I'm in this. I'm following it because there's something that is struck in my heart. And if all forsake it, I'm still continuing on. If my family forsakes it, I'm still continuing on. My mom and dad had to make their decision. But you know what? I come to a place in this where I even made a statement to my wife. I said, this is how much I believe it. If my mom and dad would decide, you know what? We've been wasting our time and would turn away from this, it wouldn't budge me an inch. Because I know in whom I've believed. And I'm fully persuaded. Amen. I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep us. I'm fully persuaded of where we're going. I'm fully persuaded that there is a rapture. I'm fully persuaded that this is the message that brings his calls out a bride to take that rapture. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that God sent us a prophet to bring that word to call a bride out. I'm fully persuaded. I don't come here for no social event. I come here because I want my life to get closer to the Lord. I want to be ready to leave here. I don't want to have no contingency plan. Well, what if I don't make it? Then I'll do this and I'll do that. I don't want a contingency plan. I want to leave here. Sometimes I think and I worry about folks. Wonder, what are they going to do? They don't get their lives right. What are they going to do when the time comes and the rapture takes place? There was a dear sister that back when you remember when 9/11 took place. And I don't know if y'all, where you were at when it happened or what you saw or whatever. I had a van at the time that had a little television in it. And I went out when my wife called or texted or something to tell me something was going on. So me and some of the kids went out. We turned it on, and we actually saw the second plane hit the towers. While they were broadcasting about the first plane, here come the second plane in. And it was a very traumatic time. What's going on? And it was all mysterious. Nobody knew at that time what, why was this happening? What was going on? Who was behind this? What was going on? There was a very dear sister. She started to call around trying to see if she still could get a hold of people. And for some reason, she couldn't get through to my dad. So I got her real worried. And so she ended up calling me down here in Tennessee. Brother Jerry, so glad I got a hold of you. Something, it was a fear that struck her. She thought maybe the rapture was taking place and she wasn't going anywhere. She had to find, was anybody else still here? So I know it didn't miss me. It's going to be scary when that time does come. You go to get a hold of mom and dad then. Mom and dad ain't answering. So you get out and you go over there. You get to their house, mom, dad ain't there. But the car's there. Where are they at? And you begin to call around. And you know what you're getting? Ringing. No answer. I don't want to go through that. That's why I've made my mind up and made my stand and give my life to the Lord the way I have. There is no pleasures in this life that are worth missing it. This world has nothing to offer that's worth missing going to heaven. You realize that the enemy, friends, God allows him, as I said, he'll allow the enemy to come and test you. But if God has placed you here, this is the only way you're going to make it. It's in your hands. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow? Are you going to continue to follow? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message this morning, sermon that you placed on our heart, God. We thank you for your anointing, dear Lord, for helping us, Lord, where we could bring this message you laid on our heart. Lord, I ask, God, that you, Lord, would just take and may it strengthen your church here. Lord, we're not many. We don't have vast membership. But Lord, I believe we got some quality here. Lord, strength, I believe, lies in being fully persuaded. Not in numbers, but in the number you got, being fully persuaded to where there's nothing can shake them. Because there's, the Bible speaks of a time coming when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there'll be some that can stand the shaking because their feet are planted on the foundation, on the rock of ages, on the word, the truth. Lord, I ask you to bless your people today. Bless the word to them, Lord. Bless their time and their fellowship. I ask you to be with them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.